Illinois State Representative, joining us this morning. Morning, Terry. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Up in just kind of reading some briefings this morning and getting ready for the State of the State today.
Yeah, Of course, there's a State of the State and State of the Budget. We've got two addresses. I think today is a little more general, a little broader strokes, and I'm really, as I watch Springfield and the people of Illinois, I'm increasing. I was worried before, but morale is worse and worse every day.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the State of the State, you're right, it's kind of a warm-up to get ready for the budget. I think you almost have to have the State of the State, just in the case of Illinois, just so that when they see what the reality is of the budget, they won't be so shocked. So I expect the governor will not, he will not have good news today for us.
Yeah. One of the items, and I saw this number of press releases, including a press release out of your office, says Representative Bryant, voices loud opposition to Madigan's rules. Started hearing the chains rattle about this yesterday. These rules that that Madigan has put in place. What rules is that have you concerned, State Representative?
In particular, there, you know, obviously the Rules Committee is always a concern for us. To my knowledge, we have the only state in the United States that requires the bills that we file to go to the Rules Committee first. So, in order for a bill to go to a standing committee, so that you can get a true hearing on that bill, it goes to a committee that's made up of five people, and Madigan still holds a supermajority even in that committee. So, three Democrats, two Republicans. So, and they are handpicked. The three Democrats are handpicked by the Speaker. So, any bill that he does not want to get heard just never gets out of the Rules Committee. So, it will never have a hearing. And quickly, the second one that was of concern, there's a, we call it the Demmer rule, which is, if you remember last year, Tom Demmer tried to get us to stay in session during the Easter break, which every Republican wanted to do, and we were all there prepared to do it. And before we brought the rule up that we could stay, and it was immediately gaveled out. So we were trying to get a rule put in place that if enough of the members wanted to stay, that we could do that. But again, the Speaker makes the calendar, and his rules say he decides when we're there and not there.
I can tell you, Terry, that over the years, the people have complained to me about it not coming out of the Rules Committee. It's been going on so long, the people who first made me aware of this and complained about this are now dead. That's how long it's been going on. And the ones who had told me about this said, look, you don't understand how good ideas die in committee. We're talking about groundbreaking ways of solving problems, and they never make it out of committee because of, and citing this.
Yeah, in fact, you know, they don't even get to committee because they get stuck in the Rules Committee. So
right.
It's a little bit of semantics, but he's the gatekeeper of the committees. So, the rules just basically say, in the Senate, that's not the case. In the Senate, any bill that's filed that you want to have a hearing on, a senator can say, I want a hearing, and they get a hearing. It may not be a long hearing, it may not pass, but at least you can have your witnesses there, and you can have some engagement. In the House side, if the Speaker is angry with you, or he just doesn't like your bill, it's never going to move. So as a legislator, I get folks who say, why can't you guys get anything done? You should just go up there and get this and this done. I get it, and that's why I came up here. But if you can't get your bill out of rules, it will never see the light of day.
And that's why Brandon Phelps was talking to me, saying, you know, I've got to vote for somebody because if I don't, things won't get done for my district. He said it point blank on the air here. Now, here's another thing. This Senate budget proposal. When I was speaking with people in Springfield last night, I kept saying, but this stuff, and then I would run down the litany, which you and I are getting ready to talk about, and they said, no, but you've got to understand, they're talking. This is very good. They weren't talking. They're talking. This is very good. But what they're talking about, so you can say, look, at the Illinois Public Universities, the nine we have, then the Senate restores the funding, $1.1 billion. Or you could look and say, well, before they were talking about increasing personal income taxes to 4.95. Well, in the last 2 days, they've decided to move it up to 4.99 and a 5% excise tax. Landscapers, lawnmowers, service providers of all sort. Some of this stuff, I look at it and I realize we're broke. I realize that, you know it. Everybody can do math knows it. But I'm wondering if we're going to have to pay more, shouldn't there be something in it for the taxpayer, the voter, the resident of Illinois? And I look and I don't see it.
Yeah, the reality is we have fought really hard up here for the last 2 years to try to get some reasonable reforms. And, you know, the biggest one that we've talked about is workers' comp reform. This Senate bill right now, there's very little in there for the average citizen or for the average taxpayer. There's no real property tax relief in there. There's an income tax increase. There's no real workers' comp reform, just on and on and on. So the optimist in me says, that's right, we're talking. And that's a very good thing. Last night, the Senate was Senate Republicans caucused for almost 5 hours, and they brought food in even to make sure that they could not be interrupted and stay. But you know, so conversation is good, and sometimes that breaks the logjam. But to be in what we've been in for the last 2 years to fight for real reforms for the taxpayers of Illinois and come out of this with nothing is absolutely inexcusable. So I think I don't think we're going to see a vote this week like everyone was hoping for, but that's not a bad thing right now.
Right. And here's the reason why. I just received a message from a listener this morning who's also an elected official. He says, in this legislation, there is nothing about cutting. And, you know, that which I think maybe I was alluding to a certain extent when we were talking about this, that there's nothing in there for us. Now, the property tax, you know, it can still be done if voters vote for an increase. And it's, I think, a 2-year, not a permanent, when you reference property taxes. But there is nothing about cutting. And Illinois has to cut. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, when you're this big in the hole, well, clearly something has to go because, well, in this legislation, last I saw of it, $7 billion in borrowing.
Yeah, that's right. So there do still have to be some cuts. We still have some human services, which nobody likes to talk about, that are under court order to be paid. And if you remember, they're being paid at the 2015 level, while others are not being paid anything. So we have to have some parity there. We saw a couple weeks ago, really just until a couple days ago, a sugary tax. Well, that might sound good to some folks. But, of course, you know, we have Pepsi Mid-America, Coca-Cola, the wine industry, retailers, convenience stores, all of who would be hit unfairly with that tax. So our conversation, I understand. I've been willing to be engaged in a conversation about whether or not we have to raise taxes, but I am not going to vote for new taxes with no cuts and no reforms. And I don't see any real reforms in where we are right now, and I don't see any cuts in where we are right now. So
right.
I would say let's keep the conversation going. We need to act sooner rather than later, but we do not need to act irresponsibly.
All right, here's the thing, Terry. I'm going to have to play the role of the person who I see driving down Route 13 to work this morning and Terry Bryant, Tom Miller on the radio and saying, well, at least they're talking. And that person in the car driving down the road is looking at the frequency and saying 1340, 1020 a.m. and looking at the radio going, what the hell? Haven't you been talking the last 2 damn years? And the reason I use those words is because that's the emotion of that person behind the wheel driving to work who's busting butt to get it done and saying, look, oh, it's good, you're talking. Well, why weren't you talking the last 2 years? I literally can hear that from the person driving down the road this morning.
Oh, sure. Well, remember, you know, I live there, too, so I would be having that same exact conversation with the radio. But the reality is there is one common denominator, and that is Speaker Madigan. And no matter how everyone else speaks, until he decides that he wants to move whatever bill comes over to him, it will not happen. So he's not at the table. You have Redonio and Cullerton at the table, and you have the governor engaged. So who's missing? The same person who's always missing.
Hey, Terry, I can't tell you much. I appreciate your time. And you know what? And I mean this. Best of luck the next couple of days. I don't know what's going to happen the next couple of days, but I feel this. We're potentially at a watershed period of time here with this budget talk, and I think the Senate may be responsible for this. It's movement, but it's like it's a landslide. You know what I mean? It's a movement, but it's an earthquake, and you really don't like it because the earth's moving. It's not supposed
to. That's right. Yeah, it's not comfortable at all, but we're going to get there. I can't stress enough that we are working hard to try to make it happen. It's as frustrating here as it is at home, but we're working at it, and there is some bipartisanship going on now, seriously at the depths that we haven't seen before. So we're moving in the right direction, finally.